Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom and welcome back to today's Daf, which is Psachim Yud Tes. We are on Ches Amid Beis, eight lines from the bottom. Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana. So you ask Rav Kahana like this. We said earlier that Rav Akiva holds, and when the Pasuk describes the food becoming tummy, he uses the word yitma instead of merely saying tummy, which indicates that it in itself will be mekabel tuma. Yitma can be read as yitame, so the chulin which becomes tummy has become tummy because it fell into a oven which had touched a sheretz, or the sheretz was put into the airspace of the oven. Sheretz is an avatuma. The oven becomes a rishon l'tumah. Now the food lowered into the airspace of that oven, of that tanner, becomes a sheni l'tumah. The pasuk describes it as yitma, which is read yitameh. So the sheni l'tumah will now transfer to a shlishi l'tumah. That was Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Gemara tells us that Rabbi Yossi apparently does not hold of Rabbi Akiva's drasha. He doesn't hold that a sheni can make a shlishi when it comes to chulin. If it's not truma or kachem, it can't make a shlishi. He doesn't have the drasha of yitma, yitame. As well as Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, we're going to learn soon, has a whole kavachayma arrangement from which he will learn halachas of tuma for truma, for kachem. And the Gemara says apparently Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi, nor does Rabbi Yossi hold of Rabbi Akiva. Says, how do we know that? Amalei Rav Ashi L'Rav Kahana. It's pretty clear that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva says that when the pasuk speaks about something becoming tame, chulin, falling into the oven becoming tame, it says yitma, which can be read yitame, so the sheni can make a shlishi. So if it touches something, it makes that into a shlishi of the tumah, even when it comes to chulin. Apparently, Rabbi Yossi lo yisavel ka Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of that drasha. How do we know? The sanya, om Rabbi Yossi. Now, we know that chulin can be metame up until a certain point. Truma goes a step further. Kachem, a carbon, goes even a step further than that. So the point is that the tumah is commensurate with your level of kedusha. So it corresponds to the level to your level of importance, of significance. Chulin is the lowest. Then truma is a step ahead of chulin. And kachem is even a step beyond that. So basically it says like this. How do I know that when it comes to kachem, it goes up until revi l'tumah? So you have the mace, who's avi avos, the grandfather. He touches something and becomes an avatumah. He touches something and becomes a rishon. Touches something else, a sheni, over to a shlishi, over till a revi. How do I know that it can extend up until that point, even to a revi of tumah by kodesh? Minayin l'revi because of shehu pasul. Now the word pasul means that it is mekabel tumah, but can't transfer that tumah further. Tumah on the other hand means that it is tumah to the extent that it can actually transfer tumah further. Okay, so how do we know that even up to a revi b'kodesh is pasul? Says Rabbi Yossi, we can learn it from a kal v'chum. V'dinu. Now, as Rashi points out, it's actually a double kal v'chum arrangement. Rashi brings the Gemara in Soita, that proves from a different Kavachayma that Truma is going to be a step ahead of Chulin. And the Kavachayma is, since we find Tvul Yoim, a person who was Tamei, was Tevil in a Mikvah, but hadn't yet experienced Harav Shemesh, it's still before nightfall. So since we find that a Tvul Yoim, which is a Sheni Latuma, is, although he's Mutter, when it comes to Chulin, he's also when it comes to Truma. So certainly a Sheni Latuma, which is possible by chulin, of course it can make a shlishi by truma. So truma is going to be a step ahead of chulin. So based on that kavachayma, learned in Mar Soita, it will prove that truma is a step ahead. Chulin stops at sheni l'tumah, but if it's truma, then if that sheni touches something, that truma will become a shlishi l'tumah. So again, since we find that truma has an advantage over chulin when it comes to tfulyam is mutter by chulin, but also by truma, so we can prove from there that Truma will actually be a step ahead, that since Chulin goes up until Sheni, Truma will extend up until a Shlishi. So now that we know that Truma extends up until Shlishi, we're going to add another Kal V'Chaim here. So it's a kavachomer based on a previous kavachomer. What's the second kavachomer? This is going to be learned from Mechusar Kippurim, which will prove to us that since when it comes to Truma, it goes up until Eishlishi, so Kachim, which is more halig, more Kaddish than Truma, it will have another step of Tumah, up until Revi'i L'Tumah. So as the Gemara V'dinu, we can conclude that with a kavachomer. Uma Mechusar Kippurim, since we find a person who's a Mechusar Kippurim hasn't yet brought his carbon. So there are various stages of Tahara of a person. When he's tummy, it needs to be toivel in a mikvah. At that point, he's a tful yom until he experiences Herav Shemesh, nightfall. Even after Herav Shemesh, if he's still before his carbon, he's called Mechusar Kippurim. So since we find Uma Mechusar Kippurim, since we find this Mechusar Kippurim, Shemutar Betruma, although he's mutar and truma, there are no restrictions with respect to truma. Still pasul b'kodesh or asur b'kodesh. He's also when it comes to kachim, which means from a pasuk. So since we find that kachim is more severe, is more stringent than truma with regards to a mechusar kippurim, so we learn from there shlishi shepasul b'truma ein edin shiyasa b'rivi b'kodesh. Certainly shlishi, which when it comes to even truma is considered pasul. How do we know that? Because we just learned from the early Kavachomer, from Tful Yom, right, that Truma has an advantage over Chulin. So since we find that Truma, even Truma, when it comes to Shlishi, is Pasul. Shlishi, Shere Pasul, but Truma, ain't no idea, of course, certainly, Sheyasa Revi B'Kodesh. It can extend up until Revi when it comes to Kodesh. Kodesh will actually be a step ahead of Truma. So there's two Kavachomers here. One is to prove that although Chulin only stops at Sheni L'Tumah, Terumah goes a step further from a Sheni to a Shlishi. That is learned from the Kavachomer of Tevul Yoyim. Terumah has an advantage over Chulin with respect to a Tevul Yoyim, which is Mutter by Chulin, but also by Terumah. Therefore, when we have a Sheni by Chulin, of course it can make a Shlishi by Terumah. That's number one. And once we know that Terumah has a Shlishi, we're going to prove from the next Kavachomer that Kachim will have an advantage, one step ahead of Truma. Because since we find that there's an advantage to Kachim over Truma with respect to a Mechusar Kippurim. Mechusar Kippurim is Mutar by Truma, but Asar by Kodesh. So we learn from there, of course, the Shlishi, which is possible by Truma, will make a Revi by Kodesh. Concludes the Braisa, Rabbi Yishai speaking, V'lamadnu Shlishi by Kodesh me'atayra. Actually, Shlishi by Kodesh, we don't need the Kavachomer for. So evidently, the Kavachomer is going to teach that the Shlishi can make a Revi by Kodesh. How do we know that Kachim has a Shlishi? We already know from the Torah, from the Pasuk. Urevi m'kavachomer. And as a result of that, of the fact that we already know that the Pasuk says that Kachim can have a Shlishi, apparently this Kavachomer from Mechusar Kippurim will prove to us that Kachim is actually a step ahead. Urevi m'kavachomer, that can make not only a Shlishi, but also a Revi. Explains Rabbi Yosi. Shlishi m'natoyer d'chsev. So the pasuk is saying that when basar of kachim will touch kol tameh, it's alluding even to a sheni l'tum. The pasuk clearly says that it's something which is a sheni is called tameh. Kol asher b'soicha yitma, anything within that oven that touched a sheretz. The sheretz is an av, and the oven is a rishon. So the food which is lowered into that oven becomes yitma. So the pasuk here is telling us that even something which touches a sheni, a basar ashiga b'chol tomei, will touch that thing which was a sheni, found that the oven became a sheni. So any basar kodesh touches that is yitma. Lo yachal. What does that prove that? Something which is a shlishi, and when you touch a sheni, you become a shlishi, is considered to be lo yachal off limits. So we already know from a pasuk that kachem extends up until a shlishi. So apparently this kavachomer, using mechusar kippurim, will prove to us that not only Shlishi by Kachim Tamei, but even Revi, it's a step ahead of Truma. So Rashi explains, generally speaking, when we learn something with a Kavachomer, you can't derive something in a manner that it will result that the derivation is greater than the source. So how do we know that the Kachim is going to have a Revi, since we're going to learn it from a Kavachomer, from the Shlishi with Truma? So that's what Rashi is trying to explain, because otherwise, if we're not trying to prove Revi, we already know Shlishi from the Pasuk. We don't need a Kavachomer for that. So apparently this Kavachomer will come to teach us that Kachim is actually a step ahead of Truma. Truma goes on to, up until Shlishi, and Kachim up until Revi. And same thing regarding that first Kavachomer by Tful Yoyim. which is going to prove that all the chulin only goes until sheni, truma can go until shlishi. Same concept, because if chulin and truma are the same, then you don't need a kavu chaim for that. So apparently kavu chaim is coming to say that truma, yeah, is a step ahead of chulin. Chulin stops at sheni, truma stops at shlishi, and kachim will stop at revi'i l'truma. Continues the Gemara. So we know the shlishi is from the pasuk abasa shigav chotami lo yochel. Explains the Gemara. Mile askina denoga b'sheni. Are we not speaking that the shlishi touched the sheni, and the pasuk is saying that the kachim that touched the sheni becomes a shlishi? So that's a given fact from the Torah. Revi'im kavachaim k'damrinan, and that sets up stage to learn the revi by kodesh from kavachaim, as we just mentioned. So this is Rabbi Yossi speaking. Says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that Rabbi Yossi evidently does not hold of Rabbi Akiva. That what? That chulin can go up until ishlishi. That the pasuk describing this thing falling into the cheres and uses the word yitma is meant to be read yitameh. So the sheni which falls into the cheres, into the oven, which is ishlishi, becomes a sheni and can be metameh others. That's Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Apparently, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of that. Why? Because otherwise, let's think for a second. Truma will have to be a step ahead of that. Right? We have a kavachem that proves that truma is a step ahead of chulin. So if chulin can become a shlishi, yitma yitami, the sheni makes a shlishi, so truma will extend up until revi. And kachim, which is a step ahead of chulin, of truma, will make a chamishi. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi holds of Rabbi Akiva that chulin goes until shlishi, Nisni nami revi betruma bechamishi bekodesh. So what do you basically stop? When it comes to truma, he stops at shlishi. Comes to kachim, he stops at revi. You're always a step ahead of each other. If chulin can go up until shlishi, then truma up until revi, then chamishi bekodesh as well. Ella Rabbi Akiva. Oh, so obviously Rabbi Yossi does not hold the Rabbi Akiva. Plain and simple. So that proves our point. No, chulin only goes up until sheni. Truma extends a step further up until shlishi and kachim all the way till revi. So we proved our point. Says, but there's a second element to your statement. You said that Rabbi Akiva, who actually does hold that a sheni l'chulin can make a shlishi because yitro means itami, how do you know that he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi's kalvachimer or double kalvachimer arrangement? How do we know that? Elder Rabbi Akiva lo sava l'Rabbi Yossi minolan. How do you know that? Amar lei. So he responded. This was Rav Kahana, right? Rav Ashi asked Rav Kahana this question. So he said, "I'll tell you, Amar lei, the leishtamit tana. We don't find any tana leishtamit tana v'lisni revi v'truma v'chamisha bekodesh. Very simple. We don't find ever that a tana makes reference to Truma going up until Revi and Kachem to Chamishi. The name of Rabbi Akiva, and it would allow us to attribute that Shita, that Tana to Rabbi Akiva's Shita. If indeed Rabbi Akiva holds a Rabbi Yossi's Kavachim arrangement, he would have to conclude that Truma goes up until Revi and Kachem to Chamishi. We simply don't find such a phenomenon. We don't find a Tana making reference to such a concept. That proves that apparently Rabbi Akiva does not hold Rabbi Yossi's arrangement of these kavachimers, and that's why he can't come to such a conclusion that truma is a step ahead of the chulin, and will go to Revi and catch him to chamishi. Says the Gemara, "V'anan ahachi nekav v'nismach." So he responded, "Well, just because we haven't found such a tana, anan us ahachi on this concept, on this conclusion, nekav v'nismach, are we going to rely, get up and rely on that?" Meaning, perhaps there is a shita that holds that, yeah, that truma goes until Revi and kachim to chamishi, and that shita is Rabbi Akiva. So how do we know that Rabbi Akiva, how do we know with certainty that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of this concept? Says the Gemara, nafak Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi went out and he did the work. V'itame Rav Kahana, some say it was actually Rav Kahana did the work. Dok v'ashkach. So nafak, he went out, dok v'ashkach, he investigated and he indeed found a clear Mishnah that Rabbi Akiva holds that Truma goes until Revi, till Shlishi, and Kashem till Revi, and no further than that. Hadas Nan, There's a Mishnah in Chagiga, this nun. Hakli mitzaref es masha besoichoi l'kodesh. So the Mishnah here says that if you have several things in one kli, the kli combines it together. So if a person whose tummy touches one thing, everything in the kli is tummy. Even if you have 100 pieces of coal, everything is tummy. Because it's designated for the kodesh, for the mitzvah, for the mizbeach. So it has that advantage that the kli is mitzaref everything. But now when it comes to truma related materials, it doesn't have this stringency that the kli is mitzaref and makes them all into one entity. The Mishnah continues. It's actually also a Mishnah in Idias. So the Mishnah continues. Varvi b'kodesh pasul, ashlisha b'truma. Okay, so when it comes to kodesh, it goes up until Ravi. Varvi b'kodesh pasul, v'ashlisha b'truma. However, when it comes to truma, it stops by shlishi. So the Mishnah clearly sets the limit of truma until shlishi and kachim until Ravi. No further than that. Who's the author? Who's the man to Amar of this Mishnah? V'amar b'chiyah barab Amar b'yechanan. Guess who it is? May do say. Shall Rabbi Akiva Nishnis Mishnazu? This Mishnah is actually one of the Edios, one of the testimonies of Rabbi Akiva. See, the author of this Mishnah, this nun, Hoisiv Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added, the first part of the Mishnah speaks about the Efer Paraduma, which we makabo Tuma, with the Rabbanan, because we know that something can only become a tuma if it's a kli or royal achila. Efer pama, the pur, the ashes of the paraduma is not food, is not edible. So it's going to become a tuma midrabanan. So as Tosis points out, that although minatur is something which is designated for the mizbeach, will be mekabel tuma despite the fact that it's inedible due to its high esteem, but not efer paraduma, which is not designated for the mizbeach. So the tuma there will be midrabanan. And the Mishnah that speaks about the efer para, which will become a tuma midrabanan, and also the kli will be at sarafit. So it's all sitting in one kli. If the tuma touches even one small portion of the efer para, everything within the kli has a shared destiny. Everything is considered like one single entity, and everything will become tuma. So that's how the Mishnah begins. And Rabbi Akiva here is coming to add something. Hoysev Rabbi Akiva. It's not Hoysev Rabbi Akiva. Not only the Efer Para, who become a Tumah and the Kli, who become Tsarifim and Drabanon, but all these other items as well will have the same concept. Hoysev Rabbi Akiva. Hasoilas, the flower for the Minchavak, Toyras, the incense, Valavoina, which is the good smelling substance they used to put on the Mincha, Vagicholim, coals, pertaining to all these things. Shim Nagat Voyam Mektsasan, Pasales Kulan. If it's full yayim, touches even just a portion of these things sitting in a kli, the entire content of the kli will become pasal. So it's Rabbi Akiva speaking, and the earlier Mishnah, that kli mitzarev es mashu betzaychay lekodesh of avalei l'tshuma, is also Rabbi Akiva's edus, it's his opinion, it's his testimony, that a kli is mitzarev. Everything that's designated for kodesh, for kachem, for the Beis Hamikdash. And what does the earlier Mishnah say? The Mishnah they concluded with the words, "Revi b'kodesh paso v'ashlish v'truma." Right. So the Gemara is going to make a diyuk. Revi in chamishiloi. Apparently, when it comes to kachem, it only goes up until revi, according to Rabbi Akiva. Not chamishi, too far gone. Shlishi in when it comes to truma. It only stops until a shlishi. Yeah, that could become puzzle. Uravi loy, but not uravi. So, if we know that it's Rabbi Akiva speaking, this concept of seiruv kli, that the kli is mitzarev, is Rabbi Akiva. And the Mishnah, who is Rabbi Akiva's shita, concludes by saying that truma goes until shlishi and kachem until chamishi. Alma kasava. Sorry, one second. So apparently, Rabbi Akiva holds that shlishi is the deadline for truma. And Ravi is the end zone for Kachem. No past that. So this proves to us that Rabbi Akiva does not hold on Rabbi Yossi. So it's a clear right. So conclusion, Rabbi Yossi, who presented all these kavachomers, does not hold on Rabbi Akiva. And again, the point was that Truma is a step ahead of Chulin, Kachim, which is more Kaddish, and Truma is a step ahead of Truma. So since Chulin goes up until Lasheni, Truma will go until Shlishi, and Kachim to Ravi. Apparently he doesn't hold that Chulin can extend up until Ravi. He doesn't hold of Yitma Yitam, he doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva. Otherwise, if the Chulin goes until Shlishi, the Truma will go up until Ravi and Kachim to Chamishi, and Rabbi Yitzi clearly says it's not so. That's number one. And we also proved that Rabbi Akiva apparently does not Rabbi Yitzi's Kavachim arrangements, because he himself does hold that Chulin can make a Shlishi. If that would be the case, then by employing these Kavachimers, what would happen to Truma? It would have a Shlishi, a Ravi, and Kachim would have a Chamishi. And we see clearly from this Mishnah, which is a Rabbi Akiva's Shita, that it's not so. Truma only has a Shlishi and Kachim, a Ravi. So we proved that Rabbi Yitzi and Rabbi Akiva don't hold of each other's Shitas. Continues the Gemara on this topic of Tzir of Kli. So Rabbi Akiva just told us that something which is designated for Kedusha, for Kachim, for the Beis Hamikdash, and sitting in the same Kli is sharing the same destiny, the same function. It's all regarded as one entity. And if you're metami one thing, in that Kli, everything within the Kli acquires the same tuma. Now the fact that Rabbi Akiva was hoisif Rabbi Akiva, he was coming to add. We mentioned that the beginning, the initiation of the Mishnah, is in reference to Efer Para, which is certainly only Makabal Tumah Midrabanan. Apparently the fact that Rabbi Akiva makes reference to that, he says, I'm going to add all these items as well, Soilis and Ketoris and Levina, that they will also have this Chumrah, that the Kli's Mitzarev, since he connects it to the Efer Para, I'm going to add all these as well. That indicates that, what is the basis of this concept? The Raisa or the Rabbanan? Says the Gemara, Almaka Sovar Siruf the Rabbanan. It's very clear that Rabbi Akiva holds that Siruf, this concept that it Kli Kivim, it's Sarif everything, and form it as one entity, is the Rabbanan, because Rabbi Akiva is adding to the earlier part of the Mishnah, which is discussing the Rabbanan, because the Efer Para is not meant for the Mizbeach, it's not edible, it's certainly only the Rabbanan. And apparently Rabbi Akiva is adding to that, that all these soilers and ketores as well will have a concept of tziruf. What type of tziruf? Tziruf is merely drabbanon. Upliga, the Rabbi Chanan. This is in dispute of Rabbi Chanan. The Amar Tzir the Raisa. He holds that this concept that it clicks with a tzar of something and make it into one entity is actually learned from the Torah. It's not a drabbanon. Shenema kaf achas asor azom leik teres. The pasuk is speaking about the kabbarnas of the Nesim. They would take one kaf achas, Asor Zav, weighed 10 gold coins. So it was one, and it's full of turis. What do we learn from the word achas? Isn't it obvious that it's one kaf? Ha kosav also kol masha b'kaf achas. The Torah regarded anything within that kaf as one single entity. It has one shared destiny, one function that it's designated for. And we learn this from the pasuk, that if you tell me one portion of that content, the entire content will attain that tumah as well. Okay, so we know a concept called Tziruf Kli. Rabbi Akiva says it's merely midrabanan, and Rabbi Chanan learns from Pasek that it's min hatur. Continues the Gemara Tanan Hassam, we learned in a Mishnah there in Maseches Idyos. Mishnah lists many testimonies presented by Rabbi Chanina Skana Kehanan, and one of the duyos, one of the testimonies is as follows. Al machad shenimtzeis bebasar. He testified regarding a needle found inside the flesh of the korban. So it was touching the basar. And this kohen handled the basar with his hands using a knife. So what is the halacha of the basar, of the sakin, of the yadayim? I think Gemara soon will explain exactly what type of machat it is and why was it a tummy. So the halacha was shasakin vayadayim tohiris. The sakin, the knife that he was handling, and his hands are tor. Now, basar tomei, the basar itself, which is actually touching the machat, is tomei. Nim says, so perish, if you find the machat sitting in the waist of the animal, in which case you don't even know if it touched the basar. Hakol tor, everything is tor, hands, knife, and basar. The Gemara soon will elaborate on the pshat of this Mishnah, but first, says Rabbi Akiva like this, Omar Rabbi Akiva, Zachinu, we are fortunate, she'ein tumas yadayim b'midosh. That although generally speaking, Chachamim applied a tumah to stam yadayim, even just plain hands. If they're unwashed, they're considered to be tamei, like a sheni l'tumah. We were zeicha Rashi on top says, Zuchus v'toiva v'revach v'takana hilano. It's great, it's amazing that Rachamim suspended this tumah of Yudayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps not to increase tumah by kachim, perhaps because there was less tumah prevalent in the Beis HaMikdash. So, in any case, we see from this Mishnah very clearly, his hands are tur. This indicates that there's no tumas Yudayim in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, v'neima, shein tumas Yudayim v'keilim b'Mikdash. We know that there were actually 18 things, 18 different gzeiros, the Chacham or Goizer, things that were not Torah, really Torah, but the Chachamim applied a tumah to them, gave them a din hasheni l'tumah. One of them is Yodayim, as we just mentioned, also Kalim. So if a Kli touches even a Mashke, which is a Rishon l'tumah, which shouldn't have the ability to metame a Kli, but we're concerned about perhaps the liquids of a Zavah, that can be metame a Kli, so the Kli, which touched the Mashke, will become Tumah. So why doesn't Rabbi Kiva make reference to Kalim as well? Because in our case, not only are the Kohen's hands tar, but the Sakan, the Kli, is also tar. So why doesn't Rabbi Kiva bundle it together? Look, we were Zoiche, that hands and Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash are tar. V'neima she'en tumas Yudayim v'Kalim b'Mikdash. Why doesn't he make reference to Kli as well? Amar b'Dama Rav. Because at that point in history, there wasn't yet a tumah applied to Kalim. That's why Rabbi Kiva is not referencing it, because it simply wasn't around yet. Oh, maybe the Rabbi Tamer. Some say it was Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Yodayim koidim gzeiras kelim nishna. So the tumah the Rabban applied to Yodayim preceded was koidim the gzeira of kelim, and therefore Rabbi Kiva, since at that point in history there was no gzeiras kelim, he doesn't refer to it. But in reality, it would seem that you're correct that in the Beis HaMikdash, not only wasn't there a tumah for Yodayim, but also not for Kalim. Amar Rabba, how can you say that? V'atar vayu boi bayim gosr. Both the tumah applied to hands and to Kalim were established on that very day. Which day? The day that they went up to the Aliyah of Hananiah ben Chizkiah ben Gorin, brought in Gemara Shabbos, and on that day they established 18 gzeiros. So Yodayim and Kalim were both on that same day. Isnan, a sefer, a yodayim, v'atvul yoyim, v'oichlin, v'akele, v'shnitmu, v'mashkin. All these different types of tumah were enacted. That those gzeres were enacted on that day. So a sefer, Rashi says, is because they used to hide the truma there, and mice used to come, damage the svarim. So they didn't want the sefer to be a hiding place for truma. They applied a tumah to it. Yodayim is unwashed hands, a tefillah yoyim person was toivah without erev shemesh, or oichlin and kelim shenitmu mashkin, as we mentioned, if mashkin touched oichl or kli, they become tamei, asheni l'tumah. With regards to truma, if they touch truma, it becomes pasul. So, if both yodayim and kelim were established on that same very day, so why does Rabbi Kiva only mention yodayim was oichl, that yodayim are not tamei with English? What about kelim? Elam Arava, very simple. You know why he's ignoring Kalim? Because there's no basis for Tumas Kalim here. Hanach l'tumas sakin. Leave Tumas sakin alone. There's no reason in this case for the sakin to become tummy to begin with. Da'afil b'chulin. Nami l'mi tummy. Even if this sakin, this knife, would be non-kachim, just plain, chulin, there would be no reason for the sakin to become tummy. Why? Because it didn't touch anything. That can be matame the sakin. Hai sakin the nagba mai. What did this knife touch? Ilam nagba basar. Is it because it touched the basar here? The basar which is tummy due to the needle found inside. Well, basar doesn't have the ability to be matame kli. Ha'ein oichel matame kli. We learned this the other day. Food can't be matame kli. So that's out. Vel the nagba machat. Okay, is it because it touched the needle itself? Va'ein kli matame kli. A kli which is not an avatuma, can't be metame another kli. So that's why Rabbi Kiva didn't discuss the kli, which is tar, because there's nothing unique about the sakin over here not being tame. It's not because it's in the Beis HaMikdash. There simply wouldn't be reason or basis to be metame the sakin even if it was chul. It didn't touch mashkin, which are tame, which can be metame the kli by chulin. There was no mashkin here. Either it touched the basar, which is tami, or the machat, which is tami, both, which can't be matami the sake. Okay. So that's what Rekiva referred to the yadayim in specific, because just plain unwashed hands have tumah in a different context. So we're lucky, we're fortunate that in Eisam Midash we don't have that tumah. But when it comes to a kli, there was no tumah to be matami the kli in this case. That's right, Rekiva doesn't make reference to it. Let's get back to the Mishnah. We found a machat, a needle in basar. The basar is tummy, but not his hands or the sack. Now, what type of needle was it? Why was it tummy? Hai machat ma'avidte. What type of machat are we speaking about? In a masafik machat, we're speaking about a undefined machat. Something with unknown origins. We don't know whether it was coming from a person who was tamei or tar, safek machat, and perhaps that would be basis to be matame the machat. Says the Gemara, but that halacha, that something which is safek is regarded as tamei, but the Rabbanu were concerned perhaps it was tamei, and they applied a tumah to a safek kli, something which you don't know where it came from. But that doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. Even Yerushalayim doesn't apply. For itma, haven't we learned? Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Chanina. So both these Amoraim, each one said one statement. Chad Amar, one of them said, Lo gozru al safek ha-roikin shivir shalayim. Although generally, if we find roik, saliva, sitting around, we don't know where it came from. Perhaps it's from a zav, in which case the roik is an avatuma. So safek ha-roikin were not tamin yushalayim. Parshan explained, due to the small number of tmeim that were there. We find roik in the street, we don't have to worry about it and be concerned that perhaps it's tummy. So that's one aspect. V'chad omar ligozru al safik hakelim shivishalayim. And one of them, Izam Arayim, said, well, likewise, we didn't have a gzeir on safik kelim shivishalayim. So you find a kli sitting in the street of unknown origin, you don't know where it came from. Whether it's tummy or tar, there was no gzeir on safik kelim. So, of course, the machat in the Beis HaMikdash will be tar. If it's only a suffix, there will be no basis for tumor. Tumor gives us two options. Amar vidam rav. Kigoyin she'avdolei machat tomei meis. Ve'ikir bubasar. What happened was that a person, he knew that this machat belongs to a tomei meis. Tomei meis is a person who touched a meis. Makes him an avatuma. And he owned this needle, which in turn became an avatuma because it's metal. When metal touches something which is related to tumas meis, it acquires the tumah of the origin, of the source. So this person was an avatuma who touched his machat. That machat now became a avatuma. So of the loy machat tmei meis, a person had a machat which belonged to a tmei meis, which is an avatuma, and it got lost. He misplaced it. And then he discovered it where? Vikir of a basa. He found it in the basa. So we know that this machat is certainly an avatuma. It's not a suffix. It's not an uncertainty. That explains why the basar is tamei. Now the Muslim will ask us, if the machat is avatuma, it can be tamei the person and the sakin as well. Why do they remain tar? The Muslim will discuss it. That's option A. We're speaking about a machat which was certainly a tamei meis. And certainly an avatuma. Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Abin Omar, no, we're speaking about suffix kelim. We don't know where this needle came from. But we're not speaking about a suffix kli Yerushalayim, although we're in the Beis HaMikdash. You know how? Kigoyin, for instance, she'oisa para chasuma. This para that contains the machat was muzzled. Chasuma uba'a mechut Yerushalayim. It was muzzled, coming from outside Yerushalayim. In which case, you know that it must have swallowed the needle outside Yerushalayim. So it's a suffix kli from outside Yerushalayim, in which case we have to suspect that it's tummy. We have to attribute a tumah of a rishon tumah to this machat. And that's how it's matame the basar, but not his hands or the kli, which cannot be mekabel tumah from a machat, which is merely a rishon tumah. Let's see Rashi inside. So we have narrow lines of Rashi right before they widen, about 10 lines before they widen. Rashi begins with the word machat. Machat shel tumei meis. This was the first option. We're speaking about a machat which belonged to a person who was a tumei meis. Shu avatuma, person who touched a mace is avatuma, and the needle as well. The cherev erik chalo. We learned this earlier. The sword has the same din as the dead person, and also becomes an avatum, meaning anything associated with metal and tumas meis creates this combination that the receiver, the metal which is receiving the tumah from the source, acquires the same din as the source, the same tumah. In this case, since it belongs to a person who is a tumah meis, an avatumah, the machar as well, which touched the avatumah, will become an avatumah. If that's the case, then why the person's hands tore? Look at me, perch, the Muslim will ask, am I a sakin? Why do you die to her? Av gube shall kain tummy. Even the body of the kain should become tummy because it touched an av. But it's a rachtvila. It needs to be a table there of shemesh. The reisa. In any case, that's the first option of the Gemara. We're speaking about a machad, which was a tmeimei, tava tumum. And that's how it's metame the boss. Continues Rashi. Option B is, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Abin Omar, lo ilum safek machad. Not speaking about a needle, which case you know what's going on with it. It's merely a safek. We don't know. It's undefined. Now, although the suffix kelim were not talking about Yerushalayim, we're not speaking about a kli of Yerushalayim. Kigon shayis the paruch hasumo bo mechutz Yerushalayim. The vaday me'al also it certainly arrived from outside Yerushalayim. The mishen nichos l'asham loy balasa, because once it entered Yerushalayim, it couldn't swallow any longer. If that's the case, the havlu suffix kelim shem makom esachirim. It's a din suffix kli from other locations, which has a tumah midrabba. So what type of machad are we speaking about? Either we're speaking about a machad which is certainly an avatuma, or merely a rishon l'tuma because it's a suffik kelim. Continues the Gemara. Gufas, we just learned, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hanina, they both said each one statement. Chad Amar once said, like Gazra, suffik ha-reikin shibishalayim. Chacham did not establish a gzeira, a tuma for suffik saliva is found in Yerushalayim. But Chad Amar, the other one said, like Gazra, suffik kelim. They were not gozer on Safek HaKelim Shebi Yerushalayim that are found in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, what's the chiddush of these Amoraim that both contained in Mishnayis? We already know it from elsewhere. Roikin Tanina, salivas have already been presented in the Mishnah. Kelim Tanina, likewise the Halach of Safek Kelim in Yerushalayim have already been presented in the Mishnah. Roikin Tanina, we learned saliva does not. Kol HaRoikin Hanim Tzom B'Yushalayim Torn. Any Reik found in Yushalayim is presumed to be Tor. Chutz Mishal Shuka Elyon, except the ones found in the upper marketplace where the people that were Tomei would congregate. So what's the Chiddush here? Of course, we have a Mishnah. That's Safek Reik in Yushalayim is Tor. Lo Yitzricha, it must be speaking Afak of the Eschazik Zav. Even when we know for a fact there was a Zav passing by here. He was a Tomei. And then we find saliva on the floor. Perhaps we should attribute it to the Zav. Says the Gemara, no, this is the Chiddush of the Amora here. No, even in this case, we don't apply a Tumah to the Reik. So that explains that. Now what about the Kelim? Kelim Tanina? Why do we have to learn that the Safek Kelim Yerushalayim Atar? Really know that from Mishnah, the Snan, Kol HaKelim, and Mitzvah Yerushalayim. Any Kli found in Yerushalayim, Derech Yuridu Leves HaTvila, Tzmein. So on the way to the Mikvah, there will be two ways. Two ways to access the mikvah. There was the way down and the way up. They were separated by some sort of separation. So a person would take his kli, and which was tamei, and bring it down to the mikvah using one route, one side of the staircase, for instance. And when he was tovel, when he was done being metar the kli, he would bring it up through the other side, perhaps the other side of the staircase. So these two routes were separated and distinct. Says the Mishnah, the Kelim HaNimtzah B'Yerushalayim Derech Yerida Leves HaTefillah, they were on the way down to the mikvah. In which case it's pretty clear this Kli was Tameh and hadn't yet experienced Tefillah. Tameh, in this case certainly the Kli is Tameh. It's not a Stam Kli. Stam Kli means you don't know whether or not it was Tameh. Here we know. Why else is it Tameh? Why else is the Kli on its way down to the mikvah? So this is unique, and therefore in this case it's tummy. So we make a dik, an inference. Ha de al matar, and apparently if it's found elsewhere in Yerushalayim, the kli is tar. So it's pretty clear that suffik kelim Yerushalayim matar. So when we don't know, we're not aware of the history of the kli, suffik kelim, it's tar. It's only when you have an indication that it's tummy. So why does the Amor have to explain to us that suffik kelim Yerushalayim matar? We have a Mishnah to that effect. Says the Gemara, but one second. Let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah. According to your approach. Eima Seifa. Let's take a look at the next part of the Mishnah. Derech Aliyah Tahirin. If the kli is found on its way up from the mikveh, it's tar. So what does that prove? Let's make it a diuk in the other direction. Had amatmei. Apparently, anywhere else in Yerushalayim, it's tummy. Only when you have a strong indication that this kli is tar, it's on its way out of the mikveh, then okay, rest assured that it's tar. But otherwise, anywhere else in Yerushalayim, in the street, it'll be tummy. So we really have conflicting inferences, conflicting the yukim. So which way we went to go? Ah, that's why we need the Amir to tell us which way we went to learn the Mishnah. Elo Reisha Dafka. That we went to learn the first part of the Mishnah, Dafka. Mishnah says that a kli found on its way down to the mikveh's tummy. Yeah, because here we know that the kli was tummy and is awaiting tevila. It's not a suffer kli. It's a vade tummy. But when you found the kli sitting in the marketplace, in which case it's merely a suffer kli, you have no idea whether it was tummy or not. In that case, the kli is tar. That's the point of the Amir, to highlight the ratio, to teach us how we're meant to approach this Mishnah. That a suffer kli is tar, it's only if it's on the way down to the mikvah's tummy. The sefer lav dafka, and the second part of the Mishnah, that only derech aliyah is tar, which would indicate that otherwise it's tummy, no lav dafka, it's not specific. Well, Fuki Gizyasa. The Mishnah is simply trying to tell us that the Gizyasa, the alleyways, which are access routes to the mikveh. So one whose keli became tummy, he would access the mikveh through these Gizyasa, through these little alleyways. If you find a kli there, then you really don't know what happened to the kli. Was it already tovel or not? We don't know. It's not like it's on the staircase of the actual mikveh, in which case you can see clearly, okay, it's on the way down, it's on the way up. The alleyway before the staircase, before the entry to the mikveh, is an unknown area. It's a no man's zone. You don't know which way it was dropped, if it's on its way to the mikveh, on the way up from the mikveh. So in that case, since you know with certainty that this kli was tummy, otherwise why would it be found near the mikveh? So that's just a suffix kli. In that case, there was a vada tummy here, and an unknown. It was a suffix whether it was removed. In this case, you have to suspect the worst, and the kli is tummy. So that's the point of the Amir, to show us how to learn the Mishnah. That when it's merely a suffer kli found in the street, and certainly if it's on its way up from the mikveh, it's tar. So even if it's found in the street, in which case it's a suffer, you don't know what happened to it. You have no basis for tumah here. And suffer kelim yishlaim atar. However, if we know with certainty that there was a tumah here, then it's entirely different halacha. So if it's on the way down to the mikveh, then it's tumah. It's not just a suffer kli. You know there was tumah here. If it's on the way up, then you know there was tahara done and it's tar. But if it's sitting in the gazyasa, these alleyways, which are no man's land, we don't know. If it was dropped on the way to the mikveh, on the way up from the mikveh, in this case it's tumah as well, because it's not a suffer kli. It's a vade tumah. We know that there was tumah here, and we don't know if the tumah was removed. Okay, so we had two Amirayim. One said that the Suffolk Roik in Yerushalayim is tar, although we have a Mishnah to this effect, but he was coming to teach us that even in a case where you have a Zav roaming around here, we don't have to attribute the Roik to the Zav. And the second Amirayim spoke about Suffolk Kalim in Yerushalayim is tar. What was his Chiddush? He was coming to show us how to learn the Mishnah. That a Suffolk Kli is tar, but when we find them in a alleyway near the mikveh, in which case you don't know if it was dropped on the way to or from the mikveh, in this case, it will be tummy. And he's coming to show us pshat in the Mishnah, that the Reisha is dafk. And when the Reisha says that on the way down is tummy, it's only because it's on the way down, because you know that this kli had experienced tumah before. But otherwise, if it's sitting on the street, in which case it's simply a suffer kli, of course it's tar. Okay, let's get back to the machat found in the basar of kachim. What was the nature of this machat? Why would it have tumah? So either it was a stam kli, the parah was muzzled, coming from outside Yerushalayim, and you found a machat in it. We don't know. It's unknown. We don't know where the machat came from, if it was tumah or tar. So the machat has a din of safek kli, which is considered a rishon l'tumah, and that's why it's metame the basar, but not the kohen's hands or his kli, because a rishon can't be metame them. So that's understood. But we had another option, which was Rav, that this machat was actually an avatum. Says the Gemara, if this machat belonged to a person who was an avatum, in which case the metal machat, metal needle, acquires that tumah and is an avatum, then why is only the basar tummy? Why isn't the kohen's hands tummy and the sakim which touched that machat, which is an avatum? Says the Gemara, Rav de Omar, Kigoy she'avdilei machat tmeimes. V'kiru v'basar. This fellow lost, misplaced a machat, which belonged to a tmeimes. And he discovered in this basar, why is the tumah limited to the basar? Given the marmar, since we learned, bechalal cherev, why did the pasuk mention how the person was killed with a cherev? It's coming to teach us something. Cherev harihu kechalal. As the cherev, which is the metal utensil, has the same tumah as the source. So the machad, which touched an avatumah, this person who was a tmeimes, it in itself is a avatumah as well. Oh, the mekalim nami latami, a person and the kli should become tami as well. Amar Ravashi, zoyis ameris. Apparently, we learn from here, azora rishus harabmi, that azora, since it's a publicly accessed area, it's not a hidden area, it's a rishus harabmi with respect to tumah. And since over here we don't know whether the person or the sakan touched the machat, it's a suffix tumah. A suffix tumah that occurred where? Vahavale suffix tumah b'rishus harabim. V'chol suffik tumah b'shus rabim. What is the halacha of a suffik tumah that occurs in b'shus rabim? Sveika tar. The conclusion is that it's tar. Rashi explains that we learn from Soita, the isha who secluded herself with a strange man, and they went into a makam ha-seser. So since they went to a secluded area, a place which was out of view, the Torah regards her as being tumah because a suffik tumah that occurred in a place which is restricted access, out of public view, the halacha is the suffix is tummy. But we learn from there that if it's in a public area, a publicly accessed area, a rishus harab, then a suffix which takes place there is tar. So over here, since the machat, although the machat was tummy, but since the hands and the sakin are unknown, there's a suffix whether they touch the machat, and it's sitting in the azara, the Beis HaMikdash, which is a public area, this suffix is tar. So only a basar is tummy because the machat is sitting in the basar. But otherwise, hands and sakin remain free of tumah because it's an unknown whether they touched the machat. Says the Gemara, ha b'shus ha'yachad sveik ha'tummy. Okay, so apparently if this would have happened in b'shus ha'yachad, the halacha would be that the suffix is tummy. Ha b'shus ha'yachad sveik ha'tummy. Let's analyze. Michti. Hai machat. Dover shein boidas lishol. This machat doesn't have intelligence to be questioned as to what precisely happened here. And we know that v'chol dover shein boidas lishol, whenever we're dealing with something which can't be questioned, it doesn't have das, doesn't have intelligence to be questioned as to what precisely occurred here. In that case, ben l'mishas rabim, ben l'mishas yochad tzveka tor. Wherever that suffix takes place, whether Ram or Shayachat is tar, why? Because once again, let's go back to the source, Soita. This Isha has intelligence. She can be asked, what exactly took place there? So, we apply this formula elsewhere. Just as in the source, by Soita, we're speaking about an Isha who's Yishla Da'at L'Shol, she has intelligence, because she can be asked and questioned. That's what exactly happened. So only when the recipient of the Tumah has this Da'at, can be questioned, only then do we say, well, if the suffix tumah occurred in Rishus HaYochid, it is tumah. So ignorance is bliss. If there's no das, there's no tumah, even Rishus HaYochid. So here as well, the machat situation here, creating the entire suffix, we don't know if the sakin touched the machat. This sakin here is a recipient of tumah. The alleged recipient of the tumah is something which you can't question, has no das l'shoel. So why dafka? Because it's just a rabim. Do we say sveik tar? But if it would be in Rishus HaYochid, it would be tummy. No, even in Rishus HaYochid, there would be no tumah to the sakin because it has no intelligence. Says the Gemara, okay, you're right. The sakin doesn't have das, but the person handling the sakin does, and he makes up for the absence of intelligence in the socket. Because there's a suffix tumma which was generated by a person who's handling the socket. Whenever we have a suffix tumma which occurred through a person, the question has to be posed to Bezdin. We have to go ask the Chacham, what is Allah here? Even if the Kli, let's say in this case, the Sakhan will be sitting on the ground and the person is handling the sherets. So here the person isn't even handling the Kli for which you have the Suffolk. The recipient of the Tumah is handling the Matame, the sherets. Even in that case, since the person is involved, Kedavar Sheyesh Boy Da'at L'Sho. It has the same din like a Tumah associating, involving itself with a person that has Da'at L'Sho, has intelligence that can be questioned. So although the items themselves are not intelligent, but since it's a person involved, whether we're speaking in a case where the sheretz, the metame, is being handled by a person, and the kli which allegedly received the tumah is sitting on the floor. So even in that case, and certainly in our case, where you have the machat sitting there, and the person is holding on to the sakin, which is the recipient, alleged recipient of the tumah. In this case, since the person is involved, it is considered the yesh v'yidas l'shol, and if it would be in Rishta Yachid, it would be sveikei tumah. So it's only because in the public area, in the Azara, that we say suffik is tar, and that explains why the person and the sakin remain tar. Okay, so getting back to that Mishnah, we found a machat in Basa. What type of machat? Two approaches. Is there a stam kelim? We don't know. It's unknown where it came from. So the Chacham applied a gzera there because we're speaking about a machat which came from outside Yerushalayim. And although in Yerushalayim suffix is tar, but something which from outside is tummy. So the basar which is touching the machat becomes tummy because the machat has din of a rishon tumah, but the hands and the sakin of the kohen cannot be mekabel tumah from a rishon. According to the other approach that the machat was actually an avat tumah, that explains why the basar is tummy, but the hands and the sakin of the kohen, in which case we don't know whether they touched the machat, as a din of suffolk tumah. Where? In Rishon Sarabim and Sveikotor. Okay, time for a brief chazor of today's daf. We began proving that although Rabbi Kiva holds that a sheni can make a shlishi when it comes to chulin. Now Rabbi Yossi, who learns from a double kavachayim arrangement that truma is always a step ahead of chulin, and kachim a step ahead of truma, apparently can't hold like Rabbi Kiva that chulin goes up until shlishi l'tumah, because in that case truma will go up until revi and kachim until chamishim. We don't find that Rabbi Yossi holds that shita. He actually holds that truma stops at shlishi and kachim by revi. And likewise, Rabbi Kiva doesn't hold the Rabbi Yossi because, as we prove from Mishnah, that Rabbi Kiva likewise holds that truma stops at shlishi and kachim by revi. So apparently, they don't hold of each other's opinion. We learned that a kli kibim mitzaref, anything within it, all its content, are regarded as one entity, and if we're metam even a portion of it, everything becomes tamid. According to Rabbi Kiva, it's only midrabbanan. According to Rabbi Chanan, it's min haTorah. We learned that the gzera, that stam yadayim, unwashed hands, are tamid, and likewise that mashkin can be metam kelim. Those things don't apply in the Beis Hamikdash. We learned that stam roikin or stam kelim in Yerushalayim are tohar. And we learned that when we find a machat in a basar of a kachem, the basar is tummy, but not the kohen's hands or the sakin which he's using. One approach was that the machad was stam kli of unknown origins, in which case midrabban has a din of a rishon, so can be metami the basar, but otherwise the hands and the keli remain tor. Or according to Rav, was speaking about a machad which is actually an avatumah, that's why it's metami the basar, but not the hands and not the sakin, because they don't know if they came into contact with that machat. It's a suffik tumah. Birishus harabim, the azara, which is birishus harabim, and therefore, the halach is sveikoy tar.